For the thousands in the comments and the millions listening on YouTube Premium.
Bow! 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 Bow!
Nitro, baby.
Episode 3. Thank you for sticking with us on Not Fest Canitro. And the K is silent.
K is so fucking silent.
Not on
K.
This show.
No.
We say the K.
Canitro, baby.
The K is live.
Welcome. It's Canitro. Lit. We're back. Episode 3 of Nitro.
This is a big episode. This is a jumbo episode because we also watched Fall Brawl 1995. And it was a doozy. It was there. It started with a bang, ended with a bust.
Let's get right into it, because boy, did it start with a bang.
Okay.
Yes.
Out the gate, I have so much to say. Johnny B. Bad.
Well, it looks like Little Richard.
Okay. He's incredible for many reasons. I kind of can't believe that this gimmick is over. But the biggest, here's my biggest thing.
It's so over, dude.
Dude, it's so over. Here's the craziest part about it. Chuck Berry is not Little Richard. No. Little Richard did not write Johnny B. Goode. Right. Why is that his name?
It's insane.
It's like if it's like if the Velveteen Dream was called Billie Jean.
Yeah.
But then also the gimmick was Prince still. but it's all fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I love the look. The robe is incredible.
He has so many gimmicks. So many things.
He's so pretty.
It's crazy. Fucking,
the pop gun is crazy.
Yeah, the gun is
like
my favorite.
Why does he have that?
I don't
logically
care.
There's no
why don't
explanation.
I have that?
That's
the better
true.
Question.
Why wasn't he a 10-time world champion?
I'm not sure if he has this gimmick yet, but the character evolves to where he has like toy lips. So instead of, and then he goes and he pantomimes kissing somebody, but instead of kissing them, he places the like paper lip on them.
He's not doing
so
that.
It's sanitary.
He ain't there yet. But you can see why WWF saw this presentation was like, yo, we need this guy.
Oh, and he's a great wrestler. He flips.
This match is phenomenal.
What the fuck?
It's crazy.
I couldn't believe it went to a draw. I was like, what? Like, it wasn't a title match or anything. Like, there was no reason it needed to go to a draw. No.
There was this kind of time in action for a contender for the mid-card title at the opening of the show.
Well, this is very WCW. All the good stuff is up front.
Yeah.
the main event picture is usually the weakest.
I mean... It can still be said the same today for the most
part. Oh, sure.
Minus the Sammy Roman story. Like,
right.
This is, it's still pretty par for the course. But immediately, I am now starting to see the U.S. title the way that Colin is describing it with Sting. And it's because of shit like this.
Yes.
If you're starting it off with like a 45-minute draw.
Like, these guys need this shot at this belt.
Insane.
So prestigious and important.
They killed each other
to get
a shot at the U.S. title. Imagine anyone putting some kind of effort to the U.S. title now.
When, like, this is a 30-minute match, right?
It runs
35
out
minutes.
Of
35 minutes.
30 minutes, and then they do 5 more minutes, yes.
And think about this happening today. What was the last WWE match that a singles match that was 35 minutes?
Well, I mean, a main event, it would have to be. I think the Logan Paul Roman Reigns match may have gone that long.
But that was, they were on the ground half of it, right?
Yeah.
They're not doing 35 minutes of shit like Johnny B. Badd was.
Mm-mm.
And let's not not give credit to Brian Pillman, the man.
Well, I mean Brian Pillman's
the pro that kind of walked him through that, you know.
The first Nitro match, Brian Pillman, you know?
Yeah. And this is also Brian Pillman past his prime.
Yeah.
Really?
And he's still great. Yeah.
This is post prime. He looks incredible still.
Yes. I mean, he's great.
Good for him.
But injuries are racking up. He's also going through a total character transformation as we see the next night on Nitro. He's kind of working his way into this Ric Flair Arn Anderson match, which is also so fun to watch them wrestle.
Yeah.
And do like old school kind of wrestling.
All the stuff. What was the next match on this fucking abysmal card after this?
It was the fucking Morse code guy.
Did you pop for the Morse code?
I fucking screamed. Alone.
That is not beeps. A Peacock edit. That's that motherfucker's theme song.
Okay, yeah. Well, you're just leading into a new segment on the show. Is the music the original Nitro music, or is it a Peacock edit? I'm going to try to guess it since this is my first time watching
Peacock or not, with a K.
Peacock or not. Yeah. I'm going to say the Johnny B. Badd music was altered. I think that that's not his original song. I think it sounds like his original song, but it's not the original.
Rob.
It's the original. It's the original.
That's the one.
Really?
That's his shitty original song.
That's awful.
Incredible.
And it's just for him.
Awful stuff. Yeah.
That's a Jimmy Hart original.
That's right.
What do you think about this, Johnny?
It sucks. I love it.
Terrible. Let's run.
Yeah, exactly. Who were these two armed forces veterans in this match, Rob?
So this is Cobra versus Sergeant Craig Pittman.
Sergeant Craig Pittman, baby.
Cobra will be known in the future as NWO Sting. So look out for that. But Craig Pittman,
you'll get there, Jordan.
We'll get there.
Sergeant we're a long Craig ways Pittman, away from it.
Like, this match blew my mind because my memory of Sergeant Craig Pittman is he's just a guy who loses. He's a jobber. So I have no recollection of him even being in featured matches like this, number one. Number two, this was the craziest fucking shit I've ever seen with the could you imagine giving the guy, a jobber, a fucking entrance like that? Like, like falling from this catwalk?
It's crazy.
Like, also, I have to, like, one thing I wanted to mention about Fall Brawl and War Games in general is I feel like they get a little insensitive with the metaphors.
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I have my problems with war and the military, but I feel it's very weird when they go like, you don't understand, this is war. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Yeah. This is not war. This is not war at all. This is a show. Stop saying that. Like, they kept saying stuff like that, and I was just like,
the
stop.
The sounds of war.
Like, hey, like, war is a very serious thing. You know, I don't want to, it's like, show a little respect.
Just like Mike Tenay or something being like, tonight we're all Iranian.
Yeah.
What? There was just very, and like, also just, like, even in this match, like, the jungle kind of vibe. It's just very weird. It's very, I don't know.
Here's the thing. We're in 1995, and this is a show that looks like it's in 1985.
Yeah.
We're going to get some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're in for a real trip.
Cobra.
And, yeah.
The Morse code entrance theme, we're talking about it today.
So, you know, funny.
Therefore, it's awesome.
It's fucking awesome.
Oh, it's great. I loved it.
So stupid.
So
what an incredibly dumb but also genius idea.
Yeah, it's fucking dog shit. Yeah, this is one of the worst matches.
It's a great idea for one of the worst wrestlers that was there.
Ever. Yeah.
This was unbelievable. They filmed this.
And then aired it again.
Yeah. Right. They didn't edit this out.
No.
Peacock, NBC's team is like, we got to change this music, but this is staying.
Yeah, yeah. Match. Don't fucking touch the Morse code.
Don't touch whole match. I need that whole sequence.
It should be like New Jack's music. It's just play the whole match.
Exactly.
Just all matches, just Morse code.
God, that's fucking sick. I hope there's a New Jack appearance on one Nitro show. I'm hoping. It won't happen.
I don't think there is.
I don't think there is. No, I don't think he makes it.
Damn it.
Who does make it is Gary Spivey in my favorite little segment with Mr. Wonderful, which reinvigorates Mr. Wonderful. And gives him
He was still working last week. I was like, he's still wrestling.
So yeah, this already aired, right? Like, this aired on Nitro as well last week.
Yeah.
This wasn't the first time we saw this thing, but love it. And it, of course, it does lead to the new gimmick the following night, which was great on Nitro.
Right.
The next match is DDP versus Fake Ultimate Warrior Renegade. Jordan, what did you think of Fake Ultimate Warrior?
Honestly, about it. Equal to regular Ultimate Warrior from what I've seen.
He's like better than Ultimate Warrior.
He's like better at wrestling.
Yeah. This poor guy.
He can do more moves.
This poor fella.
That's true.
The late, great Renegade.
How did you feel? It's so wild that both Ultimate Warriors are dead, but how did you feel seeing Renegade for the first time as a youngin'? Were you like, this is sick, or were you aware of the ploy?
Very aware.
I was very aware.
The R on the face is so lame.
Yeah.
It looks so bad.
I guess, like, I was, in a sense, like, such a big Ultimate Warrior fan that I was almost kind of okay with it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, if we can't get the Ultimate Warrior, this will do for now.
When you see... When you're young and watching this, if they tell you the good guy's a good guy, I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, like I was rooting for him.
The Renegade is like he's doing stuff that I want to see, you know? He's cool, he's excited, he's fucking jacked.
Yeah.
He's like waving at me.
If you mirror flip him, he's the corn backwards R, and then I would have been all in.
And then he's the best wrestler ever.
And then at the age that I should have been watching this, I would have been all in. I'm like, that's the corn R. Love him. I hope he wins. 10-time world champion, the backwards the corn R.
The backwards R renegade. Amazing. Match is dog shit.
The match sucks. Yeah. This terrible. Is a very rough mid card. Yeah.
We got about a year of rough mid card. So,
yeah. Then a very weird angle with Harlem Heat versus Dirty Dick Slater and Bunkhouse Buck. The story is the managers of Harlem Heat and the other team, Sister Sherry for Harlem Heat and Colonel Rob Parker, are in love. And their love affair is distracting the teams.
This is a total mess. Sucks. It only gets worse the next night.
I feel like Dick Slater is from another era, and it's so wild that he's still around. He's from like the early 80s.
Yeah.
And his style is so dated. I never liked Bunkhouse Buck, so I'm glad they lost at least. They're a total joke. Harlem Heat is great.
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be Colonel Sanders or the bad guy from the Dukes of Hazzard? Like, what's... What's the thing?
It's Dukes of Hazzard meets Elvis's manager.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's something like that.
You know?
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, so yeah, what did you think of this? What do you think of Robert Parker?
Well, so eventually, Jordan, you'll see Harlem Heat is like the best team in the history of the company.
Yeah, they're great.
Looking at them, I'm like, this is the coolest tag team I've ever seen, and I haven't seen them do a move yet.
No. It's a real tag team, you know?
Yeah.
Two brothers.
They look incredible.
They're synchronized. They look fucking incredible.
Yeah, they look badass. They look incredible. Booker T is fucking killer.
Booker T is so fucking awesome.
He is, and you'll see why it's like moments like this show morsels of why he becomes the fucking guy.
Mm-hmm. Fuck
five
yeah.
Time.
I,
five times.
Dude.
And they have a great intro.
Dude, that song is iconic to this day.
It's so good. It uses the fucking GoldenEye soundtrack noise. You know what I'm talking about?
The keg snare.
The kegs. What is it's like simultaneously like air pressure releasing and a keg.
Yeah, it's just an industrial gust of wind.
Yeah. All right. What if wind was metal?
Hard. Hard wind.
Hard wind.
I want wind, but also a solid at the same time.
Sexy. What was that for this pile of shit?
Then we get Arn Anderson versus Ric Flair, which was fun. I've enjoyed this angle. And I didn't like the ending, though. I thought the ending was a cop-out.
Of course. It's WCW, Rob. What do you?
Yeah, all the endings are cop-outs. Yeah.
I can acknowledge that this totally rocks, but from when I was like, when I looked at it as I don't know who Ric Flair or Arn Anderson are, I was like, this looks like my grandparents wrestling. Like, Ric Flair looks exactly like my grandma, and I feel bad saying that for both of them.
True. He has a grandma haircut at this point.
He looks like a grandma from Boca Raton. And he look and like my grandfather has Arn Anderson's hair, or lack thereof.
Yeah, I mean Arn Anderson is the epitome of dadcore for sure.
He's awesome.
It's fucking awesome. He's never had a full head of hair, and he never should have.
This is if you are like a hardcore fan watching this, I'm sure, especially at that time. You're thinking like, holy shit, it's finally happening. Like Arn has finally had enough of his shit, but you're not even seeing it through that lens because Rick is the babyface, you know?
So weird.
And this story is really just starting. And this has a cool payoff, I think.
Yes. That's the thing. I know where it's going, so I'm giving it time. I agree, like, this is a weird first chapter. They did try to kind of give the context, Jordan. It's interesting to hear that you're like, oh, I don't care about this, because they had that little video package where they showed.
Oh, no, I liked it. I was in. Looking at it, I was like, if I did not know who Ric Flair and Arn Anderson are, if I turned on the channel, I'd be like, those are my grandparents.
But in this territory, it's like, that's fucking Michael Jackson versus Elvis, you know?
Versus Johnny B. Good.
Colonel Tom Parker.
So then we, right before War Games, we have the promo with the good guys, the Hogan team.
They look sick as fuck, dude.
Dude, what?
They look awesome. This got me, like, I was, for a second, I was like hyped.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, let's go.
It's exciting.
Love the camo. They look so good. The face paint.
Looking unified. Yes.
The face paint looks, it looks like it was done by the kid from the Babadook.
It was. It was a single handprint. They forgot finger painted the camo face.
They came out with like a finger paint and then they drew a turkey.
But then I don't know if you actually listened to the promo that Hogan cut. It was also jarring to see a Hogan promo in 1995 still doing the 1980s shtick.
Stuff.
Especially
when the match isn't about him, you know?
Yeah. Well, it is about him. It's all about... Well, it is. It's all about how this Dungeon of Doom is trying to kill him. And he had to get his boys, and one of his boys, Vader, disappeared. So he has this guy who he doesn't really trust, Lex Luger.
Yeah.
But he says something so weird in the promo. He said how they all prepared by drinking Agent Orange. What? First of all,
it's war.
That makes
Rob.
No sense. That makes no sense. You would die,
Rob. You don't understand. This is war, okay?
And
they're
number
all
two,
Iranian tonight. Okay?
Again, number two, like show some respect to the victims of war.
Straight up,
please, so for the love of God, crazy. Stop it's taking so me crazy. Out of this by being so insensitive.
Yeah, it's insane.
The
For no reason.
It's war.
They keep referencing. Dude, if you're going to keep pointing stuff out, like when the fireworks go off and they go, it's the sounds of war. I'm like, number one, that's the sound of a drunk person on 4th of July.
Yeah.
And number two, don't point that if there's a vet watching the show.
Yeah,
and you're like,
exactly.
Doesn't this sound like war? They're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck them up.
Cobra's
going to
be back there fucking you up. He's going to come out and beat your ass.
Cobra's having PTSD, right?
Cobra has some that capital S, dude. Capital T.
Just seeing helicopters.
Lowercase P.
As the cage.
It is pre. It is current STSD.
So I want to know.
Present traumatic.
I want to know what you guys think of the Dungeon of Doom.
One of the worst things to ever happen to us.
This is so, like, they're so unintimidating. You know, like, the whole match, I'm like, this is so, like, I never felt like the faces were truly in peril. You
but
know,
that's
like,
why they're there. And, you know, it's like, when you explain it that, like, Hogan needs guys to kill, it's like, okay, well, of course, this is perfect. But it makes
great
it
for
just
Hogan,
like,
awful
like,
for
holy
us.
Fuck, why would I watch this then?
Yes. And even worse, so beyond that, this is so overbooked. Like, at the last minute, they announced the stipulation that if Hogan's team wins, he gets 5 minutes alone with Kevin Sullivan, which to me makes no sense. Why would Kevin Sullivan agree to this? Like, this sounds like something a commissioner should have.
This is 7 minutes in heaven, but with punching.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know.
You gotta go in the closet.
And then, yeah, so that I hate. So also, the moment Hogan comes in, the number one baby face in the whole company, his first move is to cheat and of throw course. Powder at everybody's eyes. Hogan is as a baby face is the biggest cheater. Always
but here's
cheats.
The thing, Rob. It's war.
It's war. It's war. There's no rules in war.
It's war.
There are literally rules in war.
yeah, there are.
Oh God! What did the Observer say about the card thus far? Have we been looking at it?
I have it right here. So the first match got 4 stars.
Fuck
Craig
yeah.
Pittman versus Cobra was dud. Did not even get any stars. And then DDP versus Renegade, 2 stars.
Really?
Yeah,
that's fair.
Harlem Heat versus Dirty Dick and Bunkhouse Buck, negative star.
Oh, I'm with you.
Agreed.
And it gets worse the next day.
AA versus Ric Flair, 3.5 stars. So second best match on the show, mm-hmm. which I think is a fair rating.
3.5 is about what I would say.
This match gets 1.25 star. I like that he adds the 1/4. Like, you know,
that quarter is there for Macho Man.
Hey, listen, this is a
Macho
science.
Man is the like Macho Man and Sting were the only ones that were like doing stuff and like making it interesting.
The goats.
Thank God.
Macho Man, poor guy had to work the whole fucking match. Thing. Had to start with Shark. And Shark, you know, Shark's actually pretty mobile here.
Yeah. Well,
but
Sting
what
starts.
A brutal gimmick.
Awful.
Sting starts? Oh, Sting starts. Okay.
Sting is the greatest wrestler to ever live. We know this already.
Yeah.
Sting
so
at
good.
This point, dude, you need the Dungeon of Doom to keep Hulk Hogan occupied, because otherwise, if he's just wrestling everybody, like everyone will look at Sting and go, like, well, he's
better.
It's really, I was gonna say it's so unfair to him and also to Macho Man that they have to play second and third fiddle, because mm-hmm. at this point, they're so much better than Hulk Hogan.
So much
they're
better.
So much more entertaining. They're better wrestlers.
Yep.
Everything about them is better.
Another thing is as over, you know?
Yeah. Especially to their WCW crowds never really liked Hogan.
No.
What Hogan did is he brought them new sponsor money. Yes. He brought them like,
right.
you know, the corporate stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing I hated about this match is the Dungeon of Doom were like sticking their hands in the cage. Like the whole point of the cage is the action is contained within the cage.
This is some Dusty Rhodes early shit, huh?
Dusty I don't Rhodes even think like, this is Kevin Sullivan booking right now. I believe.
Was Dusty not there?
I mean, he's there, but right now I think Kevin Sullivan is the head booker. This is all Kevin Sullivan.
Good God.
Yeah, this is brutal. So then, of course, Hogan's team wins because the Zodiac, which is the worst of the gimmicks, retired, submits.
Just because he always says yes and no, yes. Right,
that's right, because he always says yes. So they're like, do you submit? And he says yes, which,
Brutus so then, rubber beefcake.
Okay, the baby face wins. He gets to have his 5 minutes with Kevin Sullivan, except no, he doesn't, because here comes the fucking giant. Oh, we skipped Fuck over yet. That earlier in the day, Hulk Hogan showing off his Harley, and the giant steamrolls it with his monster truck.
Incredible.
Which is pretty badass.
Yeah. I love it. I love that the giant's in it, because like to him, like that's a regular truck. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, to him, like that's his
truck. He only uses on the fucking the carpet that looks like the street. He saves it for that one. You know,
yeah, for sure. That motherfucker in the truck feels like me in a Nissan Altima. You know what I'm saying?
Is this his debut?
That's what I was.
He debuted. I believe a month before. He just showed up at a show claiming to be the son of Andre.
Right.
Which also tasteless because he is not. and I love the next night on Nitro, Gene Oakland is like, what would your father say about that? Like,
he gets, it's so crazy. And then,
right, so that's the show. Well,
they drop it, right? Like immediately?
They drop it very quickly, yeah.
No, they do not. They carried it over, didn't they? I thought that was still going in WWF.
No, definitely not. Definitely.
Oh man, I was so like
that's a Mandela effect for you. No, they dropped it like a year or two into the.
It's so fucking insane. In retrospect,
he looks nothing like him. Yeah,
it's more insane than Jason Jordan being Kurt Angle's son, because Kurt Angle is alive to participate in it. You know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I don't think they even asked his family. It's really weird.
So yeah, what a pile of shit this pay-per-view was.
This was a total pile of shit. It was a fun watch though. It felt like a quick 2.5 hours. The middle of the card was a little rough. I think Halloween Havoc has a better card, but the main event. The main event is so much worse. Yeah, the main
it
event
is so you know, much worse. Is main,
I truly cannot wait. the ring surrounded by like giant inflatable candy corn. And like Kevin Sullivan doing Kevin Sullivan and Hulk Hogan in the thing. It looked like Hulk Hogan was trying to beat up a child that was dressed.
Jordan,
of course, like Kevin Sullivan doesn't look intimidating. That's what hurts all of this is he's a little troll man. You know,
Jordan, if I gave you $10,000 and 3 hours to guess what the main event is right now, I don't think you could do it.
Okay, do you want me to try?
I don't want you to try. Give me your first top of your head. What do you think the foundation of the main event of Halloween Havoc is?
I think it's going to be a tag team match, Hulk Hogan and Lex Luger versus Kevin Sullivan and Kamala.
No, it's so much worse. It's so much dumber. Yeah.
But also for Kamala to be getting main event work in 1995 is absurd.
Everything that they said about Kamala was so offensive. I like don't want them to talk about it because it just starts.
I feel so like I as a child, as a baby, as an adolescent, like genuinely loved Kamala. Like I love to do the belly thing. The makeup, you know, like I celebrated Kamala. It is only now where I'm like, this is awful. This is so fucked up. But it was war.
It was war.
There's no rules except for the rules in war. Right?
Of war.
Yeah. So what a pile of shit this show was, but still fun. Johnny B. Bad saved the show.
Yeah, Johnny B. Bad, they're pushing him. So
it's good for him. Good. Turner execs were probably like, "Oh fuck, who is this guy?" Holy
it's
shit!
So funny that in the '90s, of course, I was like, "Yeah, what's the most?" Because We got people. If a wrestler is impersonating a musician now, it's from the 80s. So, of course, in the early 90s, it was from the fucking the
50s.
Right. You think of it. Yeah, it's kind of wild to put that into context of like. And also, if you think about it, the Vietnam War wasn't even that long ago.
It just
like,
happened.
The Vietnam War was, like 20 years. The Vietnam War was, there was less distance between this show and the Vietnam War than now and 9/11. To put
I know.
It
well, that's we how were insane in the Gulf Storm. We were storming
the Gulf. Yeah, we were still in the Gulf. That's right. That's right. We were in currently in
Kuwait
war.
Kuwait was burning while Hogan and the Zodiac were tussling up.
Yes.
That's why they call it war crimes,
that's
brother.
Why, yeah. WCW war crimes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's the new name of the thing.
Perfection.
Okay, so then we have Nitro the next night. And I will say this is so far the best Nitro because they had like they had a good, you know, they had this the Hogan story to thread through the show.
Yeah.
Hogan wasn't there, which already made it a better show. Macho Man, amazing promo. And a
and
great
then Lex
event.
Luger, some words.
Lex, well,
what
all right.
is he ever saying?
He's saying, I work for WCW. And Macho Man is like, what?
Yeah, like who you work for real, brother?
What are you talking about? Okay.
First, the show starts, and I see Mongo, and I'm like, oh, fuck, Mongo's still here. Get out of here, Mongo. He didn't even know that Bobby Heenan managed Ric Flair at one point, which I'm just like, come on.
Yeah, there was a moment later in the show where Mongo says, Macho Man Savage, like doesn't say the Randy, and it wrecked me.
Dude, my favorite was Mongo saying, it sounded, because like the Hulk Hogan thing is what you're going to do when the Hulkster runs over you, right? Like something that's like the thing.
Yeah. When Hulkamania runs
I don't
wild.
Think, I don't think that Mongo intended to set it up, but he was like, he was talking about Hulk Hogan and he went, what you going to do if Hulk Hogan don't get up?
Just unintentional best comedy of all time. Unintentionally saying the funniest joke ever said. Oh my God. He's unbelievable.
I love him. I love him.
Oh my God!
I love Pepe. As long as he's got Pepe,
oh,
on
I did love that. Yes,
Pepe's like, there. There's a Tumblr page that still exists with all of Pepe's outfits on it.
Oh, excellent!
He's unbelievable. He's incredible. He's my favorite part of the commentary team.
I'll be honest with you. When rewatching Nitro a while ago was, I never wanted a Chihuahua. I was anti-Chihuahua. Pepe was what sold me. And was one of the reasons why when Lana showed me Chili, I was like, all right, we'll get him.
Oh, my God.
So Pepe was a big influence on Chili.
I love it.
So the show starts, Nitro starts, the ambulance comes out. It's the Giant and Kevin Sullivan. The Giant, you really see how green he is as a performer because he cannot cut a promo for shit. He's doing that voice you do when you're like 3 years old when you try to act all tough. And
he's
I'm
doing
the Giant.
A Hogan impression.
Yeah.
And he said, he's like, I did my Hogan impression for Hogan and Hogan was impressed. So he like called Eric Bischoff or something.
Really?
And that's how he got the job.
Yeah. He was like, he just ran into him in like Clearwater, Florida or something. Like his buddy knew him. And he was so impressed with his size and his impression and his natural charisma. He's like, I want you to lose to me. That's what Hogan said.
Does he?
Well, maybe.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess his voice is hilarious. So then we get to the ring. American males are in the ring. American males.
This is an OG
theme,
right?
American males.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is American males.
Scotty Riggs and the soon to be Buff Bagwell, the American males.
I love. Are they just supposed to be Wham? Is that it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I'm in. I guess.
But love American, like Wham is British.
Yeah, American Wham. Yeah.
American Wham.
So, Bobby Eaton comes out with the assumption that it's going to be American Males versus Bobby Eaton and William Regal, or Lord Steven Regal at the time.
Today,
Lord Steven Regal actually in Japan. He was not at the show.
Not there.
So they changed it up, and Harlem Heat attacked Bobby Eaton, Lord Robert Eaton.
The baby faces.
And they said, hey, we want to fight. So we're giving you a title shot.
They're not even wearing the titles. There is no music, which is...
It's a mess. This is such overbooking. And of course, American males are like, yeah, sure, we'll do a title match, whatever. Yeah. And the ending is brutal in that the faces, Harlem Heat, require the services of Sister Sherry to cheat. And then as she is about to hit, I believe, Marcus Bagwell... Robert Parker comes out and she faints into his arms because she's so smitten with Robert Parker and hasn't seen him, I guess, in a whole day.
In one day.
And then the roll-up finish and Harlem Heat, one day as champions, lose the titles.
To the debuting American males.
And I would be way more upset about this if I didn't know where this was going, which is it's the tag team titles will soon end up in a much better place, thankfully.
Eventually.
So, eventually.
For a long time.
For right now, yeah. Though, they're with American males. American males. Oh, and Mongo had a line that really made me laugh during this one. I wrote it down. Get grandma out the bathroom. She's got some real cuties to look at. Talking about the males.
I love that they acknowledge that, like, up until maybe, what, like 2000, I found out that wrestling was like grandma television.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma's especially WCW. Wrestling.
You watched it with the soaps, you know?
Yeah. You got the hunks. It's soaps, but the shirts are off. What's not to love?
And I guess it was exciting that there was a title change. What wasn't exciting is a little production thing. It felt like they didn't white balance the cameras. All three cameras were producing a completely different shot. One was too saturated. One was not saturated enough. It was so jarring, and it really, like, you could tell that the WCW crew aren't that experienced with live broadcasts.
No, they're troubleshooting all this stuff.
Yeah, they're still figuring it out. There was a sign in the audience, "We like it raw."
I saw that.
I don't get what you're saying here, because the other show is raw.
I think they like it. Yeah, on Raw, they're saying we like it Nitro. So.
Okay. Yeah. Then maybe my favorite moment in the show, we cut to Macho Man Randy Savage on the set of Baywatch, trying to do some lifts, trying to get a nice chest pump. Benching
on the beach,
as one does, when the devil shows up and ruins everything to the point that Ric Flair even has to come over and be like, "Devil, stop it, Devil!
Yeah,
Devil, no, Devil!"
They're getting
the devil,
he's like,
man, the devil's on one right now.
And then David Chokichi, an actual cast member of Baywatch, has to go. I was blown away that actual cast members of Baywatch are being used as extras in this completely throwaway little moment. By the way, the WCW episode of Baywatch, a classic. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I will watch it before the next episode.
It's so silly.
100%.
It's great.
This is incredible. Thank God for Macho Man.
Oh, my God.
Just, we are blessed to have had him at all. And Ric Flair not shouting was so jarring. Literally, Ric Flair just helping, just be like, come on, man.
Devil, come on, stop.
Can you believe the devil right now?
Yeah.
The devil is, come on, devil's on one right now.
Yeah, the devil is kind of a bad person.
The devil is kind of a bad person. I think the devil's being a little bad.
So then this Macho rocks. Man comes out for a promo.
This is incredible.
It's setting up a match next week, which I'm really looking forward to now. Macho Man versus the Devil, Kevin Sullivan. And Macho calls out Lex Luger. He still doesn't trust Luger. If you recall, we didn't mention during Fall Brawl last night, Luger and Macho start fighting during the War Games. During war. They're in war.
During war crimes.
Fire,
during war crimes, yeah. And so there is an amazing exchange in here where Lex Luger talks about, I'm tired of playing with the kids. I want to, which he's like burning WWF at the time. He's, I'm tired of playing with the kids. I'm here to play with the big boys. And then Macho responds, you want to play with the big boys? Well, there's no bigger boy than the Macho Man.
Finally.
I loved it. I did think he was going to say, there's no bigger boy than the Macho Boy.
the where the big boys play thing is truly just getting started.
Yeah, they really get a lot of mileage out of this catchphrase. Awful.
Do they?
Yes.
They just I believe you that they keep doing it.
Eventually, when Dusty is commentating, you will never hear him say WCW without it being followed with a big boy play.
I can't wait till we get to the Dusty era, because he is so good.
Because every time he says Teddy Long's name, a year gets added to my life. Referee really? Teddy Long. Every time I go, oh, and I feel I'm healed.
And then a regen spell.
Love
it's a quick show. Then we get the main event.
Real quick. Oh wait, no. Before we get out of this, also, I want to point out that the Macho Man says to Hulk Hogan, like, I'm sure you're watching Nitro right now. However, you're doing it through your video scope. What the
He's in the hospital. He's in the hospital, there's just a scope on his eye.
Is he like seeing that like Hulk Hogan is so bandaged up that he's
he needs a specialized device?
Yeah. Through your video scope.
God.
I love him. I love him so much. He's the best.
He's the best.
All of this. He's the best. He's the greatest of all time.
He's the glue to this dog shit.
And I forgot. I missed that we didn't discuss the Paul Orndorff versus Johnny B. Badd match, where we got the debut of Paul Orndorff's wonderful new theme song. Where it just goes, wonderful.
Great song.
Great.
They call him so Mr. Good. Wonderful.
Perfect.
The best.
This gimmick terrible match to no fault of either men.
Yeah, there were some botches here.
The worst roll-up victory of all time, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Looks so... And it's like a clean, not clean win. It's really weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of clean, not clean wins on this show. Yeah. Like, technically, the Harlem Heat lost clean.
Yeah,
so they just went out there and made a mistake.
After that match Johnny B. Badd had last night, why is this the next step?
Yeah, like, he just became the number one contender, and then he loses a match? It doesn't make sense.
Insane.
You got to turn your brain off a lot with WCW, especially with Kevin Sullivan booking. But then we actually get a really fun match with Ric Flair against Flying Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman still coming out to his Hollywood Blondes music with Blondes Have More Fun.
Another seed to a great
payoff.
Yeah, the
seeds are being planted. Brian Pillman, he's now a heel, and he's affiliating with Double A Arn Anderson, and Ric Flair's... Now, even the announcers were like, oh, he's a nice guy. He tried to save Macho Man by, you know, stopping the Devil. And Flair gets the win here. And then that's it. And then they kind of just like, oh, we'll see you next week, folks. No digs at Raw either this week by Eric Bischoff.
Shocking.
And I believe Raw was still taped last week, and then next week it's live. Live
next week,
baby.
The first live head to head.
First live head to head. Yep. Huge. So we'll see.
But then they go back to being taped.
Right. So Raw is live 1 week, and then that. So since it's only an hour show, they tape three additional shows. So it's live 1 week, not live the following 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I also want to note, Ric Flair's entrance theme is altered. It's always that song, but this is a different. I'm going to say that this is like a different version of
2001.
Of 2001.
This is the traditional. There's no woo at the beginning. That was a WWE thing.
Yep.
And yeah, I think this is more just the regular one, like the one from the movie, just with the intro chopped off.
Yeah, I think it's. I think they all. I have a feeling that this is weirdly like some altered.
Oh, like a network edit.
Yeah, it's the same song, but they're like, oh, we can't use that one.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
the thing. You can do your own recording, but it's the master that is not public domain. I think the piece is public domain. So it's probably a different recording.
Mm. Right. Even a different recording than what was used when they originally filmed it. I think that this one, there's something off about
it. I could see that.
That's my thing. I don't know. I think every other... The Macho Man's theme is also OG. That sounds like some 90s Macho Man-ass shit. Mm. Well done. That sounds great.
How are you feeling 3 weeks into Nitro, Jordan?
Honestly, I'm having a wonderful time.
Even the bad stuff is very fun when there's no commercials.
Yeah, it's very... There was one commercial in this episode, and it's... Macho Man advertising Slim Jim.
And it's so good.
Of course.
It's incredible. It's the first time I've ever seen a Macho Man Slim Jim ad in the context of a wrestling show.
Wow.
And it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Honestly, a sight to behold.
Agreed. It is.
I feel healed having seen it.
Now wait till you hear Dusty Rhodes say Teddy Long. Because that'll...
Teddy Long.
That'll...
For me, what I love Dusty Rhodes saying is when he goes, when he would be announcing on Saturday night, and he would call it right here on the mothership, Daddy, TBS. What do you call it? The mothership.
The brain.
The mothership.
Keep saying brain. The what about mothership.
About your brain. It's going to be great. Well, thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us and watching Nitro along with us.
Thank you. We're loving this.
Cannot wait. Cannot wait to see what happens. I cannot wait to see Macho Man get revenge on
the devil. We're on the build up to Halloween Havoc, baby.
On that rude ass devil.
Yeah. The show that Eric Bischoff thinks was WCW's WrestleMania.
He's insane.
He's crazy. It's Starcade, but he's
I insane. Also love the sign that just said Eric Jerkoff.
The best jokes are the simplest, you know?
Dude, clean cussing, is there anything funnier?
No.
If someone goes, ah, crap, that's the fun. It's so much funnier than, ah, crap.
Yeah, it's great. It's like a hard riff in E standard, you know? If you can do that, you're amazing.
Yeah, 100%.
Good job.
If you can pop me with an ah, darn.
You should be at the Apollo, you know? Send me the Ticketmaster link. I'm on my way.
Joe Parra level.
Oh, the greatest of all time.
The greatest. I'm going to listen to his nighttime podcast right now because it's bedtime.
Good idea.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
Good Nitro. What a sign off, huh?
Holy shit.